Okay, there we go. Oh, praise God. Yeah, now we can record. So, but anyhow, today, you know, when Angela, she played that song, I guess you can bring it down now. I heard that song playing and I was like, oh Lord, you need to understand how good and how confirming God is to us. Lord, did I choose the right message today? Did I hear you today? And then the second song is, For the Lord is Good. I'm like, okay, that's it. God is good. He is great. Well, let's just go ahead and open our scriptures up to Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. It says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste. And I don't mean we go eat God, does it? It means to perceive, discern, to experience. You can ask my children, one of the things in life that drives me nuts is somebody to say, I don't like that. Have you ever tried that? No, I just don't like it. Then how do you know you don't like it? I just don't. You know, I know some of you may say, well, I just don't like dog. You might be surprised when you've eaten it. It's the thought, isn't it? You know why? Because we all have one. As a matter of fact, mine this morning, he got a little lesson in humility. Last night, you know, I've told you about him growling at me when he's eating. Like, I am not going to fight you for that food. Just get out of the hallway. He turns sideways and blocks the hallway. So last night I walked by him and I could hear it was his regular food. And he never growls at me. And I walked by him, kind of pushed him out of the way. I'm like, gave him a little nudge with the knee. And I walked in there and she said, oh, he ain't going to let you have his macaroni and cheese. I said, why didn't you tell me he had something good in that bowl? So this morning, I'm out on the deck or the porch, and I'm drinking my coffee, and she was getting some stuff prepared for a graduation party this afternoon, and she had to cook some bacon. She said, would you like a piece of bacon? I said, well, yeah. So she hands me the bacon, and guess who is sitting right there beside my chair? Tail just a wagon looking like this. Are you going to share? And I just started eating my bacon, and he's... And I just looked at him and I said, oh no, you don't share with me and I don't share with you. And then it dawned on me, growl at him. That dog dropped his head and my right hand was sitting over there and he slid his head up underneath my right hand to remind me not to bite him. Then he got up and came to the other side. Can I lick your other hand, though? But praise God. But God is so good. He said to taste and see. See, my dog could taste that bacon. He wasn't getting any of it, but boy, he could taste it. But God is so good. He tells us to taste, experience him. So many people, here's what they do. I believe in God. I don't have really faith in God. Then you're not tasting God, as we were to use the word. Anybody can believe in something. But until you truly experience it, until you've done it, you don't know. Well, I don't believe in motorcycles. They're just so dangerous. Well, yeah, so is walking anymore. I mean, come on. Breathing the air is dangerous. And if you'll watch where you're going and quit yakking on your cell phone, driving a motorcycle is not so dangerous. I was almost hit twice. And both times, never looked my way. But, praise God, I'm still upright. I kept the rubber side down and the shiny side up. But David is telling us here to experience God. The only way you can experience God is to try it. Correct. Am I not correct? Malachi chapter 3 tells us where this is where God is saying, try me now in this. That means test me. Taste. Experience. Experience what I will do if you will tithe. I know. Listen, folks, I get it. 10% of your income after the government's already raped you once seems like quite a jot. But let me tell you right now, once you put that into practice, you can't outgive God. And once you start it and you back off, yeah, thank you. Uh-oh. That means, God, I don't trust you now. So God, David is saying, taste, experience, try God. So in other words, you got to break a little bit of daylight between you and the seat of your comfortableness and get out. Try God. Well, God, I'm a little scared. Well, everybody's going to be scared. Listen, everybody experiences fear. You need to understand that right now. Even the guys that walking around with tattoos, you know, with death before dishonor and, you know, the big burly biker types, they experience a fear. There is somebody that can put fear in them. It's not me, I can promise you that. But if they realize I will bite their ankles, they might. We all experience fear. How we react to it is a totally different thing. Do we run? Or do we trust God? God, I'm going to trust you in this. You said to do this. I will trust you. Looking for a new job, God says, here. Go here. Well, God, I'm kind of comfortable here. Well, of course you're comfortable, but do you want more? Do you want better pay? Do you want better something? Do you want this? You've got to trust him. And if he's got, listen, I'm telling you right now, 3 years, my first day, I wanted to quit, but she asked me not to. That guy was a jerk, still is to this day. But I didn't quit. God blessed us in that. And of all the jobs I've ever had, that's the only one I've ever dreamt that I went back to. And I don't know why. For 3 years, and then a door opened, and I went through it. And it got real scary. We're pregnant. Not getting overtime. I used to get lots and lots of overtime. Pay kind of started paying city taxes. And then God said, all right, now you had a dream. Start it. So I did. And I kept waiting, and God said, all right, it's time. And I just kept waiting and waiting not to quit my full-time job. And finally I told her, I got to quit. I've got to quit that. And when I did, oh man, the windows of heaven opened up. And the job's dried up. But we trusted God. We held on, and God was faithful. See, folks, David experienced a lot of this stuff. He got out and did things. He didn't stay put. Well, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. You got to put yourself out there. If God has opened an opportunity for you to do something, to be somewhere, to speak into people's lives, or to do whatever, he wants you there, not hiding, like King Saul, who David was replacing. Saul was hiding from coronation. David was in the field killing the bear and the lion, and later, a giant. When we taste and we experience, well, that's just not what I like. I just didn't like that. Well, just slow your row. Don't get too carried away. As Phil and I were talking Friday, God is so multifaceted, you may have just got something your taste buds haven't matured for. There's a couple restaurants that I've eaten at in times past I told her, I said, not no, never again. I'm not going back. I do not like them. No, I do not like green eggs, Sam, I am. But I personally don't care for Panera or Skyline Chili. But you know what? I've come to the revelation. I need to try them again. Yay. My taste buds have changed. And if I don't like them this time, I won't do it again. But I'm saying that because I've realized I've matured. My taste buds have changed. Things I used to love all the time, I'm like, it's not what I desire, not what I crave. Things have changed a little bit. There are flavors I like a little more now. Same thing with God. Well, maybe you just got into something you're not quite ready for yet. I would actually rather you know, like this morning, I had this peach. She brought me a peach. It's not peach season, by the way. They're not quite ready. But give them another week or two, they're going to be ready. When you bite into a peach, sometimes you get that outer layer that's soft. It's ripe, it's sweet. But then you get to that center part that it's like, okay, this is green. And that bitterness will ruin the good that you've had. But just because it wasn't the right time. See, so many people want to get, that's why I'm like, as far as prophecy in the Bible, it has its place, but you cannot build a church on prophecy. Well, y'all ever get those flyers in the mail that talk about Revelation and it sends you all the pictures of the beast and the dragon and all that stuff? You know, that's from the Seventh-day Adventists. They're building their church on end-time prophecy. And the truth of the matter is they're bound to something that they don't even understand yet as far as the Sabbath. I respect them. I don't believe they're a cult, as some people have jumped on the plane. Said, hey, they're a cult. Let's see. They believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They believe in the Holy Spirit, and they believe in God the Father. What do we believe in? Jesus is the only way to heaven. You want to worship on Saturday? Knock yourself out. I don't care. But don't tell me I'm going to hell because I chose Sunday. The Sabbath is when I take it. It's a whole nother deal. We'll get into that message some other day. But as we taste things, we try things. When I take somebody out to eat, especially to a steakhouse, I tell them, get the good cut. Growing up, we didn't get steak. You know, most of you are in the same boat. You didn't get a steak. So you had no idea what a good cut was. And if you did, you got that tough old piece of meat that they called a steak. And, you know, somebody overcooked it on the grill. And they pulled, tink, tink, tink. Yeah, just because you think you can cook something on a grill doesn't mean you can. A little charring is good. I always thought barbecued chicken, why does it have to be crunchy? And then I found out it can be tender. But then, I'll tell you, here's how it went with me. And this is when I started changing. And it was a mindset that I had to change. We worked for a lady in a photography studio, and we were quite a ways from home on this wedding, and we needed to stop for dinner. And she stopped at this place, I believe it was called the Country Squire. It was just a very unique restaurant. It was, I don't know if it was an old barn house, but it had a couple trees real trees. They built around these trees. And, really exclusive type, expensive restaurant. And we went in and sat down, and, you know, my mind is thinking, okay, I can get a hamburger maybe. And she looked at us and she said, get what you want. She said, I highly recommend the filet mignon. I'm like, man, all I've ever had is a sirloin. So that's what I got. They're good. Sirloins are good. Don't get me wrong. If that's what you're happy with, then knock yourself out. But then I got educated. I got introduced to porterhouses. Then I got introduced to the ribeye. And by the way, if you get a T-bone, you got your filet mignon. It's that really tender part. And so I learned that there was good to be had out of it. And if I'm going to spend the money to go eat a steak, and I don't do it every day, even though I talk about it a lot, I've realized that there is good. That the old tough pieces of meat that had absolutely, which by the way, you got to have fat in them. Everybody, oh, I don't want no fat in my meat. And you just got yourself a piece of leather. That's why the Bible says, eat the fatted. They killed the fatted calf. It had a little bit of fat to it. Your body requires it too, by the way. Just in the event you're one of those that's shutting off all fat from your body and your brain, I can't think. Your brain requires fat to operate. We require to be able to try God. When we try God, He's faithful and shows up. There was a man in the Bible, we've talked about him before. His name was Gideon. He tried God. Now, the Bible talks about the children of Israel tempting God, which is the same thing. They tested God. He kept showing himself faithful, and they kept doing it. Remember what that did to God? It angered him. Matter of fact, it ticked him off pretty good that they kept tempting him. God, you can't do it. We know what you did here at the Red Sea, but we don't think you can handle this. Seriously? I'd have been pretty impressed just with the pillar of fire and the cloud in front of us weaving through the mountains. I'd have been pretty impressed with that, let alone walls of water, and we walk across on dry ground, and then he takes the wheels. Have you ever really read that, the account? He made the wheels fall off the chariots. They didn't get stuck. God pulled the lug nuts off. And boop! They realized their God is greater than Ra. And they turned tail and they ran. And God said, oh no you don't. And he closed it up like a zipper. It made God angry that they would keep doing this to him time and time again. And then when he told them to go into the land of Canaan and take it, they said, oh no, you can't help us. God said, that is it. Ain't a one of you going in. As a matter of fact, you're going to walk around in the desert until all you old type die. And when you die, your children will go in. Why? Because that's what they were concerned about. That's why I tell you, don't wrap your mind up worrying about your children. If God can't protect your children, no one can. They were saying, oh, but our children. How many times have people used their kids as an excuse to disobey God? Time and time and time again. But I'm standing here telling you, as somebody whose children were on the ground, were alive and children still, and who had to quit his job, had to step out and trust God, God is faithful. But Gideon, going back to Gideon real quick. Gideon met the angel of the Lord. Again, I want to remind you, this is not just some mere angel. When it says the angel of the Lord, it was Jesus before he took on a body of a man. He already called him a man of valor, and then he takes him back, and Gideon says, I want to fix something for you, some bread and some, you know, a little bit of meat here. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you, after he brought it in some broth, he brought it back, he said, pour the broth out, lay the bread and the meat over there on that stone. Gideon did as he was told. Jesus reached out the staff, touched the stone, fire came up out of the stone and consumed the meal, and Jesus disappeared. Later that night, Jesus reappears to him and says, now, I want you to go sacrifice two of your father's bulls. Now, I can promise you this much. You know, Bob's not here right now to testify to this fact. But if God told me to sacrifice two of his best bulls, yeah. life's not going to be good. But Gideon went and did this. Plus, he tore down the altar of Baal, cut their idol down, and used the wood from the idol to make the fire to offer these sacrifices to God. And then the angel of the Lord reappears and says, now I want you to do this. And Gideon says, well, you know, if you really want me to do this, would you? I'm going to lay this fleece out. Remember, he did this three times. He's like, now don't be angry. Why do you think he said that? Have you ever been with somebody and you can just see their countenance change? Don't get angry with me. What told you I was angry? Well, let's see, the pitchforks and the knives in your eyes. I would dare say the countenance of the angel of the Lord changed severely, but he still did it. Now, I still contend Gideon would have went in with 20,000 troops to do this battle. But because he tested God in something, God had already proved himself, did he not, with the fire? Whoosh. Okay, rocks don't just usually consume meat and bread. Haven't seen that happen. Gideon had to get rid of a bunch of guys. As a matter of fact, he had to get rid of 19,700 of them. Be left with 300. Got rid of them. All because, I believe, he tested God after he had already proved himself. So what I'm telling you on this is, if God has already proved himself and you've already taken a step, he's proved himself, and you say, but God, I don't know. I highly recommend you just zip your lip, take the step, and watch what God does. So much safer. Well, what you mean God will wake you up. We're in a day and age where we can't afford to, well, I'm going to put this fleece out tomorrow, Lord. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to put this fleece out. And then the next night, I'm going to put the fleece out. God says to do something now. He means do it now. So now, it goes down and says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. I like the Amplified also throws in there, who takes refuge in him. This is where we get our word refugee. It means somebody who has taken asylum and you are protecting them. You are providing for them. You will not let anybody harm them. That is what it means when we say he is our refuge. But I can promise you, we can't keep snubbing our nose at God and think he's going to keep blessing us. Nah, 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 nah. I'm in the refuge of the mighty here. Look, I'm under his wings. You might just get that little tip of that wing and knocked you right out there to get your butt whooped for a moment. But yeah, you're over here touting stuff and you're lying. You haven't done anything you said you were doing. Blessed, happy, to be envied. When somebody's happy, everybody hates them. Why can't we just be happy for them? Somebody's happy.
I don't know what they got to be happy about. Price of gas. I don't know about all this stuff. You got Trump doing this. We got Young doing this. We got whoever else doing that.
You know what? I'm not happy because of what's going on in the world. I'm happy because of who lives in me. And that he is greater than he who lives in this world. That's why I'm happy. And that's why when God says to do something, I step out and do it. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the more you learn to do this quickly and recognize his voice, you got to keep understanding. Everybody said, well, God, I need a sign. The sign you have is the Holy Spirit inside saying, do this. And by the way, it's not the sign that's saying, do this, brr, brr, brr. It's the little sign that says, do this. That's how you know it's the real one. Because the devil is loud and obnoxious. He wants to get all of your attention. Why? Because we are all a little ADD. Aren't we? Squirrel! We're all just a little bit like that. A little bit of distraction. You can ask my wife. We'd be talking. I see something moving. I'm looking away and she's like, I'm right here talking. I'm still listening. I just broke eye contact for a minute because something got my attention. And that's what the devil does. He tries to draw your attention away from what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you to do. When he says, trust him, that means you rely solely on him to protect your children, to protect you. Doesn't mean, again, that we don't feel a little apprehension or fear. Fear sums up all of it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't come at us. But when the Bible tells us to be strong and of good courage means, how is it? Courage is not the absence of fear, but the overcoming of fear. You do it still instead of what you know. I remember when I got stuck in pugil sticks, which is that thing they do with the football helmets and the baseball bats with little band-aids on the ends. That's about what it feels like. I won my first two heats. Woohoo! Because they sized us up. They put me against the guys my size. I can handle that. Problem is, you run out of guys my size. And this other guy, I don't know where he came from. He had to have been on a linebacker. He was huge. I didn't even stand a chance, man. He brought that pugil stick right down on top of my head. It was over just right after the whistle blew. But I remember standing there and the apprehension that came over, that started coming over me. What am I doing? Why am I here? Standing here, you got to squat down. Like, I'm, you know, part of me is thinking, I'm a dead man. I don't stand a chance and I'm not allowed to hit him below the waist because that's where I wanted to. It was my only shot because his head was up here. I'm right here. I'm close. Well, because he was so much taller, all he had to do was go bonk. And it was over like that. But inside of me, the fear was rising. But then something else came into play. Spirit of the Lord? I don't know. Or maybe it was the spirit that they were instilling in me. That I had nobody to fear. And my job was to kill him, so to speak. That kicked in. And I actually got a swing out. Don't get me wrong. I actually got a swing out. It was just, his was better placed than mine. God's not looking for you to go out and perform great miracles on your own. God's just simply asking you to trust him for the next step. To be ready. That when he says, I want you to do this. Okay. God, that's a little out of my wheelhouse right here. Well, that's where you got to trust him. When you're a little uncomfortable. Because the more you get comfortable with things, do we not have a tendency to get lazy? We tend to drop our guard a little bit. I remember being on guard duty in the Philippines. I hated guard duty, especially at night. It's like, somebody please do something stupid so I can shoot. Wasn't allowed to do anything. I'm walking around in a pen that's only about half the size of this room. It was our armory. It's where we cleaned our weapons, and I had to guard the armory. And I remember one time somebody left the funny papers in there. So I went over, and I positioned myself where I could see anybody coming around the side. Problem is, I positioned myself so that somebody could sneak up into this tiny little gap this wide behind me. And would you know it, the officer of the day did that. Yeah, Pat's like, I never trembled so much in my boots holding a loaded weapon in my life. He said, don't you ever let me find you not paying attention again. I'd gotten comfortable with that post. Nothing's gonna happen. That night something happened, and I'm gonna tell you right now, from that point on, this boy never went over to that corner to read the newspaper again. I stayed right there by the gate, inside my little fortress. Nobody could see me, but I could see everybody. I got comfortable. When we get comfortable, it's time to for God to throw things up a little bit. But the world and the church should look at you and they should be envious because you're happy, because you're doing the will of God. Oh, brother, just look what God's leading me through is just so unbearable. Oh, shut the whining up. Man, I just want to jackslap people that, oh, you don't know what God's taking me through. Oh, would you shut up and realize He's there with you? There's nothing. Listen, God will work everything to your good if you trust Him. If you trust Him. I know the scripture says to those who love Him. If you love Him, you will trust Him. I love her. She loves me. We trust each other. If you don't have trust in a marriage, you do not have a marriage. I know so many people, oh, my husband, he's out of town. I just worry that he's cheating on me. Well, maybe he's got it. Maybe you have a viable reason. I don't know. If this is the way you act when he's home, you don't trust him. You love God. You trust God. God, I trust you with my job. I trust you with my finances. That's why I tithe. I trust God with my finances. I trust you with my children. That's why I have raised my children up in the admonition of the Lord. To love God, to tithe, to trust God. They have seen our frustrations. They have seen everything we've ever gone through. So many people, well, don't let your children ever see. Well, if they never see you struggle, how will they ever know? My kids have been there when I've blew my top. And it wasn't necessarily at them. It was just situations going off. And I had to go outside and release it a little bit. Well, brother, you know, you need that. You got a bad temper. You know, you need to get that thing under control. No, bad temper is when I rip people's heads off who don't deserve it. Proper anger is when I deal with the problem. So many people, well, I just don't. I think you were a little rough. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to live the truth. And that's the truth. You can sit here and tell me all you want about how I should react to people, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, not what you stink and think. Because I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks. And if God says this is wrong, then this is wrong. There's a reason. And it's not just so that, well, you can't have any fun. No, it's not about that. There's a reason behind it. Gideon paid a price because he didn't trust God. I don't want to have to pay that price because I don't trust God to tell me to do something. You know, the truth of the matter is, most of us in here either have firearms or we support the Second Amendment. Okay? And if you don't, that is your right. That is why I served. Right, guys? It's your right. You don't have to agree with me on everything. It is your right in this country. But let me tell you, you know, I used to, I don't know if I had this shirt, but I saw him. It says, you can have my gun when you can pry it from my cold, dead fingers. The truth of the matter is, how many people are really, really going to back that up? Or are they just going to roll over like a submissive little puppy? Just saying, where's your trust? Well, I don't think we need guns to keep us safe. Well, let me tell you what, brother. It wasn't the Holy Bible that got you free from the Brits. It was all them squirrel hunters. That's who did it. It was all them guys with those makeshift muscles. We call them makeshift now because you might shoot here back to the wall and hit your target. Well, you know, I don't know. Well, God hasn't told me to go get on board with any left wing, right wing, whatever wing organization. I'm not getting myself all wrapped up in the political garbage because, you know, I mean, we can try to legislate morality all we want. Homosexuality is a sin. We will make it illegal. God's law has already trumped it, and it's illegal in God's country. Abortion is already abolished in God's country. However, we need to deal in the spiritual as much as anything. Like I said, all this stuff has been illegal at one time in life, and it didn't stop it. I mean, I hate to say it like that. Marijuana was once legal. Did you know that? You know why they outlawed it? Because so many people in the 20s were driving high and wrecking and killing themselves. So they did away with it when they did away with alcohol. Didn't stop any of it, did it? We have a spiritual issue. And I'd like to say it's strictly in the world, but the church has got its own head up its own backside. And half of them today are thinking, well, you know, we're going to just go out and we're just going to be like the world. We're going to blend in. We're going to talk about being born again, what it really means to be born again. That means we quit acting like the world. Man, if you know why my dad quit the first church we ever went to? Because when he was a sinner and running around doing whatever he did, he was sitting right next to the deacons in the church that we were going to on the bar, and they did the same things. He said, why do I want to be like them? And give up my Sunday morning to recover. So we left that church because of that, because of sin. It wasn't just sitting on the bar stool getting drunk. There was other things going on. Well, brother, don't you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? No, it don't. I heard that commercial the other day on the radio, and this young man that I hired to help me over there, he was there, and I said, no, it don't. I said, you either bring home something in the oven or you bring home something that a shot's going to have to take care of, hopefully. He laughed, and he said, yeah. The church no longer believes what it's supposed to believe. Why? We don't fear God. We don't trust God. You have a need, ask God. Don't ask me. I can't provide it. Now, if you're in a bad way right now, I can help, but I can't be your Savior. I'm just a shot in the arm is all I am. That's why the Jews called him Jehovah Jireh. My God who provides. So when you taste and see, that's why God had so many names in the Bible, folks. They experienced God, everything. They experienced his healing. They experienced his providing power. They experienced his delivering power. Do you see what I'm saying? And they still refuse to trust God. He said, well, I'll just replace you. He was going to replace, remember when he was going to wipe them all out and use Moses to rebuild the entire nation? God was willing to put his plans on hold for them to possess that land long enough for Moses' descendants to take it. Thank God for Moses. He trusted God. And you know what it took for him? A burning bush. That was all it took. He saw something in nature that does not happen. And he said, that's enough for me. Even when he tried to argue, but God, I'm not an eloquent speaker. He said, well, your brother Aaron is. We'll use him to be your mouthpiece. And I still contend, look in your Bible and see how many times Aaron actually spoke. You know what was going on in Moses' mind? Moses, you ever come back here and I will kill you. That's what was going through his mind. Let alone come back here and tell me I'm going to let your people go. I don't think so. And even through all those plagues, God showed himself faithful. Folks, you need to taste and see that God is good. Well, Pastor, my life is just so dull and boring. Well, what's God telling you to do? Where is he trying to tell you to step out in? Maybe he's wanting you to volunteer somewhere. Maybe he's wanting you to work somewhere. Maybe he's wanting you to do something else. Put a little bit of zest back in your life. You know, we are called the salt of the earth. Salt heals, it preserves, and it boldens the flavor. That's what salt does. So don't think that your existence is just to take up a seat. Your existence on this planet is to be that salt. What are you offering them? You're offering them the meat of the Word of God. You know what the number one thing they tell, when I've read on how to cook the perfect steak, do you know what the number one thing they tell you to do? Salt it. Salt that steak. It brings out the flavor. You're offering them God's word. You're the salt. Trust him. He's not going to fail you. I promise you. I promise. I'm not a Boy Scout. Is it 3, 2? Here. I promise you, he will not fail you. He will not fail you. You've got to trust him, though. I guess that's it, because my mind is just going, I'm shutting down. All right, so let's stand. By the way, if we're faithful to trust him and obedient, the Bible says we'll eat of the good of the land. Well, Pastor, I just don't have those highfalutin tastes like you do. Well, that's fine. You can eat all the hamburger you want. If I'm given the difference, the choice between a hamburger and a steak, medium, please. And no, I don't need any A1 steak sauce. If it's a good steak, you don't need anything on it. If you need, so I keep telling them, would you like any A1? No, I hopefully don't need it. If you don't like the flavor of meat, well, that's fine. But I can promise you, if you will trust God and you will taste everything he has to offer, there's nothing in this world that can compare to it. He'll help you finish songs. He'll give you revelations. He'll give you revelations that will dwarf anything John ever saw. Do you understand that? Their time was not it. That was not it. When Jesus left, it was all our time. Revelation keeps coming and coming and coming. Revelation of God, revelation of His Word. Revelation of who He is. Like I said, I know all of us have got a shock coming when we get there. I mean, shocker. It's just going to smack some of us in our religious ideologies right up the side of our heads, because we see Jesus, we see God up there on His throne with a crown and a big scepter and, you know, this robe that just covers everything, white flowing beard, and oh no. God is mighty. He's powerful. With eyes of fire. So much so that even Moses had to be shoved into the tiny little crevice and protected, because he could not stand to see God's glory straight on. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, for all that You have done for us. Father, I pray now that You help us to trust You more. Father, give us the courage to step out. Father, help us to believe. We say we believe in You. Help us to believe in the abilities You have given us. Father, I know so many people are preaching against that. But if we do not believe in us, we will not believe in You. Father, and help us to remember. And even as David recalled all the victories in his life, help us to recall those victories, to overcome the things that are pushing against us. And the Father, I thank You. I thank You and praise You for all these people today. Father, I bless them. Father, I bless those that are at work. Father, those who are away traveling. Father, those who are ill. Heal their bodies. Touch them right now, Father. And Lord God, I give You all the glory and the honor for the things You do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.